Hey, with us on this Monday morning, text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. So come on the program about an hour from now, former state senator Dick Brubaker. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us on the line, she's the district attorney in Blount County, but she's also running for attorney general. Pam Casey joins us on the line. Pam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, I always love your show because I love the lead-in music. I mean, you are top notch on that.
I appreciate the the vote of confidence there. Well, how's the campaign going?
It's going well. Hey, we are under 30 days. You know, I am still the DA of Blount County. I've got a grand jury seated right now. And so I'll work a little today. A week and a half ago, I tried a man who kidnapped and raped a 10-year-old, and I've convicted him. So, you know, I'm wearing really three hats right now. I am DA-ing, campaigning, and momming and wifing. So getting it all done.
Well, let's start here. The campaign's going. I guess the thing that stands out to me, and you know, the polls are what they are, but I mean, you're in the thick of it, but it's also, there's so many people who haven't made up their mind yet, despite a lot of money coming from your two opponents, but there's still a lot of undecideds to break.
Yeah, there's been, you know, Jeff, there's been millions of dollars put into this race by my opponents. I put about $65,000 into it. And I think what that really shows is that they don't have a message to sell to the people. And that's what they're trying to get the people to do, is to buy something they're selling and the people just aren't picking it up. You know, we've stayed right in the middle of it, statistically tied in a recent polling when you consider the margin of error. And I've got a record. I have been fighting for our families and our children and putting killers and predators in prison for 20 years. And that's what the people of Alabama want. And we believe on election day, May 19th, that's the decision they'll make.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the hot buttons out there, and, you know, I know it's not something that you would directly, if you were elected attorney general, you know, necessarily be, but I got to think there's a criminal element associated with it, but legalized gaming, so much, there's so much money floating around Alabama politics right now with that. Where are you on the gambling issue?
Well, I do hope that the people of this state will look and see what PACs have been putting money into races and see who, and follow the trail. You know, you can go to the website, alabamavotes.gov, and look up each person, look at their PAC, then go to that PAC and look and see who's putting money in it. You know, I believe it's the legislators' decision to make a decision as to whether or not we should have a gaming bill and whether or not the people of this state should vote on that. So I think that the people should be making a decision when you're voting for your legislators, where do they stand on the issue? If you want to vote, then you want to make sure you're putting legislators in there. But I do, you know, we saw some news that came out last week about PACs and outside money that's coming in. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars going to, if I'm correct, or if they're correct, you know, allegedly, to one of the candidates in this race. And you just don't see that in my campaign. We are taking money from the people, DAs, law enforcement officers, farmers, teachers across the state who have put money in, not hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about $10, $100, $500, because I represent the people. And so, you know, I would tell the people, depending on what you want to do in gaming, you want to make sure that you have legislators there that vote what you want.
Well, what does it do? You know, we see what has going on in Mississippi, and I think it's changed that state. It certainly changed the landscape of Gulfport and Biloxi. But do you think, if you know, the people decide, hey, this is what we want, this is what we're going to vote for, how does that change your job as attorney general?
Well, you know, it increases, you know, it always increases corruption, I believe, because the concern is who gets on what commissions. There's going to be a gaming commission. Who sits there? How do they get their seat there? How is the money being handled? How's the money being doled out? You know, I am in no way trying to influence any type of vote by the legislature at this time, but we know that when gaming facilities come in and those are open statewide, it does change the landscape and the setup for a state and for an area. And so that's something that they want to consider. You know, I hope that if gaming does come to Alabama, and I'm not saying that I hope it does, I'm saying if it comes, I hope that they remember the district attorneys in across the state who are going to have to handle increased crime, because it happens. Anytime that comes in, there's an increased crime. So I hope that they will fund the DAs accordingly to be able to handle anything that comes with it.
Yeah, and, you know, does you also see the way this could be set up? I guess this would be the concern that you would have an enforcement division, and maybe it's a separate bureaucracy, but I mean, we already have alphabet soup in government. So if they set up a gaming commission and the authorities there, you know, how does, where does the attorney general work in? Where do the local DAs and these, you know, these counties around the state? It seems like a lot of these details have got to be hashed out. If the people want it, but there's going to have to be a lot of work to be done underneath all that.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, the Alabama Attorney General is the top law enforcement official in the state. So they have jurisdiction to go into any county, any grand jury, set up an investigation, run a grand jury. And I'm the only candidate this race has ever done that. I'm the only candidate, you know, like I said, we're seated a grand jury just 5 minutes ago, and they're on break right now while I talk to you. No other candidate in this race has ever seated a grand jury, brought investigators in, returned indictments. Don't you want your top law enforcement official to have the experience of having done that? We don't want someone in there that has to learn how to do it. And what I've also done over the last 20 years is I've stood up when I needed to stand up. And sometimes I made decisions that weren't always popular, but they were right. And you need somebody who's willing to fight for the people and for the rule of law. You know, and what it's also going to do, you talk about the alphabet soup, you're going to have an increase cases that are going to need to be worked. So I hope that the legislature, if that happens, that they're going to increase funding for our law enforcement and for our DAs, because it's going to increase the amount of work that they're going to be doing.
Joined by Pam Casey. She's the Blount County District Attorney, also running for Attorney General of Alabama here on the program. Tell me this. I get this question all the time, and I don't know quite how to answer it. The way our judicial system is funded, we always seems like there's always this incomprehensible backlog of cases. You have like real violent crime suspects who are out on bail for an extended amount of time. Does that seem to be an oversight here in Alabama regarding our criminal justice system?
Well, look, you know, we need more judges in the state. My circuit currently has one circuit court judge. We could clearly use two, and even a second district court judges. And if you look across the state, there's additional judges that are needed. More judges allow us to move cases quicker. Now, there are some cases that just can't move quickly. You know, a capital murder case really doesn't need to be tried before 18 months or 2 years. I'll tell you why. Those things, you're looking at the death penalty or life without, and they're going to appoint two attorneys to those cases. We want to make sure that they do their due diligence and represent those people properly, so we're not redoing the case, 5 years from now when it gets reversed on appeal for ineffective assistance of counsel. So when we talk about people being out on bond, Anaya's Law has done a great job in helping us keep those repeat offenders in. And I would remind your listeners to please vote yes on Amendment 1 that's going to be on the ballot May 19th. That allows us to add additional crimes to allow judges and district attorneys to request people to be held on no bond. And so, we need more funding for more judges, and we need more funding for more DAs. And what your listeners may not realize, the DA's offices are not fully funded. You know, my budget is probably close to $800,000 to $900,000 a year to run my office. I only get about $300,000 from the state legislature. So we are not fully funded. And that's something I hope at some point we will get to. And if I'm your attorney general, I would hope to work with the DAs and the legislatures to see if we can't move toward fully funding these offices and putting those judicial seats in the counties so we can move cases faster.
Well, you know, and we're what is the mood of law enforcement now? I guess, you know, the beat cop or the sheriff's department, the deputies, they're, you know, in some places in Alabama, Montgomery, I would say, mm-hmm. they got problems. They have a morale problem. I don't think it's like that across the board, but I can see like some of the national politics kind of creeping in to the discussion. What's been your experience?
Well, you know, they're underpaid, number one. Many of these people could go to your local Target or Walmart and make the same or more money than they can make putting on a bulletproof vest and a badge and going out and answering calls. And so when you have a situation where you're essentially putting your life on the line, but you're not being properly paid, they're underpaid, they're overworked, understaffed. And so I think that affects your morale when you think. And another thing that I think is affected law enforcement is they feel like, well, we've already arrested him 5 times and he's back on the streets. Sentencing guidelines, I think, had a huge impact on law enforcement and DAs, really, over the last 10 years. Our sentencing guidelines prevent us from being able to send somebody off for a long amount of time. And even the early mandatory release, cops know that and law enforcement knows that they're going to see the same people back over and over. And you sometimes feel like you're a hamster on a wheel. And are we ever going to get off the wheel? It's the same people. And sadly, it took someone like Anaya being murdered for us to even step up in the legislature and say, you know what, we're going to do something about that. And I'm thankful to the people of the state for approving that constitutional amendment when they did. Hope that they'll do that again May 19th on Amendment 1. And you know, hopefully we can get law enforcement paid appropriately. You know, the two people in this state that probably should make the most money but don't are teachers and law enforcement. And we got to do something about it.
Well, something you made some headlines a couple of years back, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on where we are today. But we passed a big prison bill and with expenditures and, you know, using COVID money and surplus money from the general fund, et cetera. It seems like a deal was cut to get people to go along with it in the legislature to early release and the pardons and paroles process. This has always been a stickler. Are they adhering to the sentencing guidelines, or does the system just look for ways to get these guys out sooner rather than later, rather than their sentence? And that's, in some cases, you're not even notifying the victims of the crime. We still have a lot of those problems. Where are we on that?
Oh, absolutely. And what frustrates me more than anything is with early mandatory release, you know, they threw something else on DA's plate of, oh, by the way, we need you to notify the victim that this guy's getting out early. And I get emails all the time, like, we need their information so they could be contacted. I've had numerous, more than just a handful of people who within just a few weeks of getting out on early mandatory release, they're committing new crimes in Blount County, which goes back to the law enforcement morale. They're like, wait, did we just send that guy off or something? And so, yeah, I think there was a many years probably from like 2011, 12, when they did the voluntary sentencing guidelines in 13, there was this hope that we can create this process that will reduce the prison population. And what they found was, is that, okay, if you reduce it, you're still at about 85% violent offenders. So what more can we do? We either build more prisons or we do lighter sentences, or some people just throw their hands up and say, well, there's nothing else we can do. You know, I have always been a truth in sentencing person. If 10 is 10, then we need to make sure it's 10. And until we have truth in sentencing, we won't have a good grasp on our prison population in this state. I hope at some point that the legislature would do the hard work and move toward truth in sentencing, because early mandatory release is one of the worst things that ever happened to this state.
Well, one of the things that you're pushing against, and it's always amazing to me, I mean, you have these advocacy groups, these left-wing storefronts, and they populate the hallways. And they have a real distinguishable impact on what the legislature does on this stuff. It's incredible to me, but it's very effective. And that would have to be a challenge for you in the future if you're elected attorney general.
Well, let me tell you, people like Appleseed and Redemption Earned, if you look on their websites, I'm pretty sure, assuming that they haven't changed, some of those organizations are getting a lot of money from big companies in the state. It always blows my mind. The DAs, we talked about it. Like, you know, you got big companies putting donations and becoming sponsors of these groups. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, what are you doing to protect the everyday person that's not gotten in trouble? The victims out there, like we are scraping by. We're not getting, and I don't think the DA should be sponsored by any means, but I'm just saying that money, there's so much outside money, non-state general fund money that is floating to those groups that are doing everything they can to get people out. And let me tell your listeners this, Jeff. I currently come to work for $500 a month. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? I could have retired months and months ago and already eligible for retirement. And so I don't need the job of attorney general. I have worked hard to lock in my retirement, could go and do a private practice if I wanted to. But I want this job because I believe we need somebody in Montgomery that represents the people, not special interests, that's not had somebody pour millions and millions of dollars into this race to buy the attorney general's office. My office isn't for sale. My office hasn't been for sale when I was DA. And I want the people to know that I will stand up when somebody needs to stand up, and I will fight when someone needs to fight. And I don't worry about who's on the other side if I know I'm doing what's right for the people.
Pam, folks want to find out more about your campaign, how to get in touch or anything else, tell them how to do so.
Yeah, PamelaCasey.com, and we're also on Facebook at Pamela Casey for Alabama Attorney General. I encourage everyone to go out May 19th, grab a ballot. I'm the first candidate on the list for AG. Mark your first choice, the first one on the ballot, and move on, but would love to have your vote.
Pam Casey, ladies and gentlemen. Pam, thanks again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. You look into